And the reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 16. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he replied. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honour your father and mother, and love your neighbour as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Patricia. Today it's Father's Day. Brilliant. Well done, all you fathers out there. I'm sure for some of you it's been a really joy and easy task getting out there being a father. And for some of you as well, it's been really, really hard, really, really difficult. But that's life. It's never just plain sailing, isn't it? It can be really difficult at times. But as a father, you have a responsibility, don't you, to instruct, guide, nurture, love, care, all those things, and a whole lot more. Pretty much lead your life by example. And you have hopes and desires how your children would grow and fulfill, above all, their well-being, their being, you know, able to get through life without too many illnesses. But we're all sat here today being children. We've all had parents, all had fathers. And through their upbringing, I guess some of those have been really good and helpful experiences. And maybe for some of us, it's a bit more challenging and maybe even disappointing. But the truth is, as we all know, none of our fathers are perfect. None of our fathers are good all the time, as much as they want to try and be. But I guess when we come and think and share and believe in God through Jesus Christ, we realize all over again that we become children, but in the spiritual sense. We don't become children through a sense of maturity or age, but in a spiritual sense, we come into the presence of what Jesus is trying to help everybody understand as a heavenly Father who is good, who is perfect. And he too wants to guide us in love and care and show us by example how to live in the basic principles of how to be human beings. Just how to get on together. And without that guiding light, we can find it really, really hard. Even with the religion or politics or traditions, whatever it might be, we still find it hard to get on. Even in this place, in this church family, who love Jesus with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, we find it hard to get on with each other at times because we're all uniquely made and we're all different and we're all diverse in how we understand each other and ourselves and life. And I wonder how many of us in this room here today have thought seriously about life, where you're going, where you've come from, where your destiny is. And since the older you get, the more you think about your mortality, what happens at the end of life. Maybe you thought about that. Maybe the person next to you or behind you, in front of you, has thought about that. Or maybe you're still at the other end of the age group, still very young, and life's there forever. You don't think about those sort of end of life experiences and thoughts. But wherever we are, it's an age-old concept to think about eternal life. Because given the choice, you'd probably all like to live forever, to enter into that eternal life. And those questions have tried to be reasoned and fathomed out by all kinds of experiments and trials and searches, looking for the elixir of life, that holy grail, looking for that pond of eternal youth. Science and technology trying to convince us that there is hope out there. Even cryogenics, people spending hundreds of thousands and having their bodies frozen so that in time, when technology advances to a point of us living forever, they can bring that technology into that frozen body, revive them and give them new life. But it's not always as it seems. And this young rich man in our Bible passage this morning, it's no different to us, although this is 2,000 years ago. He approached Jesus knowing there was something different about this guy. He'd heard about him roaming the countryside, doing all kinds of special things, extraordinary. And with all his wealth, all his possessions, he sets out to find him and ask him that question. And he arrives on the scene with a person who's got plenty of wealth and status. Maybe today he's like somebody who's got 4 camels parked on his driveway. He's got a nice yacht in the marina in Capernaum near the Sea of Galilee. A summer villa out there in Athens. He's got all the possessions of the world. And his head and heart are full of goodness. He's trying his best to do what's right. He follows the commandments of God. And he comes to Jesus and says, "Good man, good teacher. You know, I've heard loads about you. But what must I do to enter into eternal life, to get that eternal life for me? Not to live forever now, but to think about where I'm going to, that I might just live forever." And Jesus doesn't rebuke him, doesn't fault him. He knows his heart's in the right place. But his mind's so crammed with other things, he's decided what can fulfill that desire for eternity isn't there. He comes and says, "I just lack something in my life, in my heart." And Jesus knows this, that there's an emptiness and a void, that no matter what he's got around him, he might even be a good father with lots of children, but it's still not fulfilling that gap that's in there. And Jesus knows that. And he helps him understand that to enter into this eternal life, there's nothing that you can do, he says. His question was, "What can I do to get eternal life?" "Nothing," says Jesus, "can you do. It is a gift from God alone. And you can only enter into it by belief. It's as easy or as difficult as that." We're going to watch a video clip, only a very short one, about a person talking about the hopes of technology, bringing us the hope of what eternal life might look like. So let's just watch this clip now. And can we share what we make of it? Thank you.
The sense of it is to develop the means of transferring one's personality, one's consciousness, to a non-protein, more capable body, carrier. People call me a dreamer, and even some colleagues of mine call me a dreamer. But this dream, this future that we're going to create, I would say, I think it's, you know, it's worth to dream of, because in this future people will be young, beautiful, they won't suffer from illnesses and diseases, and they will have, you know, multiple bodies, not only just one. In the biological body, they will be able to probably live on Earth. In the non-biological body, they will be able to travel to cosmos. In the hologram-like body, people will be able to stay even there where you cannot stay in the physical body.
He's Russian, so it's hard to get his accent, but I'll explain what he was talking about. His idea is that all who you are, so I'm going to look at this gentleman here because it's well smarter, this blazer and so on. Capture this person here, his whole essence, his personality, his character, his life experiences, his past, his presence. Take all that, put it into a computer program. So eventually when you pass away in bodily form, okay, which happens to all of us, is that you will exist then in technology, like a hologram type thing. You will come alive, and all what you are will be in that hologram. So you will live forever through technology. It will display your personality, your character, the way you think, the way you feel. It will display your habits and your hobbies and your interests, your intellect and your passions. And I thought, that's really intriguing. Who wouldn't opt for that to live forever? But what he missed, and this is the key concept, he didn't mention a soul. A soul. Because essentially, that's what we are. All this flesh and bone is just flesh and bone. But it's home and it's a host to the spirit, to your soul. And that's who we are. And you strip away all our beautiful looks facing this way. And you strip all that away. What's left is just who you are deep down in there. And that's all God is interested in. And as human beings, we skip that part sometimes because we see and we judge in what we see. But the future, that technology, only holds the present and the past. It can't make decisions for what how this gentleman would be in the future. Those future experiences, his thoughts, how life changes us. So when that rich man came to Jesus, he was young and held a whole life of experience to come by. As we get older, we do think more about life because it shapes us and forms us through all the harshness and through all the joys as well. But within that as well comes a rationale about what life might mean for us. And we've got to make a decision, don't we? Whether we think we're going somewhere, there's a destiny, there's a hope, there's a place out there beyond life itself, or clearly there isn't. But make a firm decision. And I think God wants that and he'll love you for it. To say, I don't believe in you. I'm firmly on the ground and in this world, and that's all I need and want. And God can work with that. Or, I really believe in you. I want to give my heart to you, and my hope and destiny is in you, and he can work with that. And I promise you now, he loves either both equally. Okay? You can't deter God's love. Whether you love him or not, he's going to go on loving you. That's what he does. But Jesus says it's worth exploring it. And today, there was a research for the Telegraph for 2,000 people in London, asking them about life and the afterlife. And it said in this research that 55% of people believed there was an afterlife. 60% believed there was a heaven. So some thought it was an afterlife, some believed in heaven, some thought of something else. But 70% of people believed in the soul and the spirit. That was important to afterlife. So it's not the flesh and bone that goes into afterlife, but who essentially you are. And when that young man came and said, what can I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, believe. And that's the promises of Jesus and the famous passage that most of us have come across in John 3:16. But it starts off really in chapter 14, verse 14 or 13. When Jesus says to Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee and a temple leader, he says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, meaning Jesus himself, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake to the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. That's a promise from Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. There's nothing we can do to enter into eternal life. We can search it, think about it, explore it, and make a decision about it. Because God can't really work with somebody who's on the fence, not really sure that way or that way. He wants you to make a firm decision. And maybe today isn't the right time for you to make that decision, but explore it. Don't just think there's something out there, something beyond. If there is, isn't it worth investigating? Or if you don't believe it, be really certain about it and enjoy the life you've got in this world, because I still believe it was God-given for you to love and enjoy. But for those who have a faith and a belief in God, that's the only way we're going to enter into eternal life. And baptism today is a sign and symbol about entering into that kingdom. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark hours of the night, he was asking that question too in his searching. He says, what's it all about? Who really are you? Who really am I? And Jesus says to him that unless you're baptized, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born of the Spirit. This is where born again Christians comes from. Because we're all born into the world as children, aren't we? But we're born again when we become Christians in the Spirit. We're born again in the Spirit. It says, unless you're born again in the Spirit, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you will never see it, you will never enter into it. So the whole idea of eternal life, it's like, there's no point just knowing about it and doing nothing about it. And the whole point about eternal life, there's no point doing something about it, but knowing nothing about it. The idea is that you know it, and you do something about it. It's an absolute commitment into that way of life. As Jesus says, I am the only way, I'm the truth, and I'm the way. I am the bread of life. I am eternal life. And he says to that rich man, give everything up that you've got, because it's confusing you. They're not the important things. Give all that up, and I dare you to come then follow me, and I'll show you. And the rich man couldn't do it. His sad, heavy heart, he headed off, knowing that those things were a priority over that eternal life. The question for us today, what will you give up? What's the most important thing to you? All your possessions? Or just searching out that possibility that life is out there and it's a gift from God? So I'm really happy that young Blake and young Ada are taking those first steps into that way of faith. And you parents have such an important role to raise them up in that journey, to enter into it, to participate in their lives by being examples to them. And you godparents have an even bigger role to play, because you're the rocks behind in which they will raise up those children in that faith. And all you family here today and friends are here to support them and encourage them. It's not about your faith or your beliefs or where you are, it's about them. But they feel your love and encouragement and welcoming spirit just to be here. So thank you for that. And at the end of the baptism, we welcome these children into the family of faith. So you, brothers and sisters that are here today, as our church family, we're welcoming these two little children, their parents and their godparents and family and friends, into the family of faith as well today, but especially for those children forevermore. And that's why baptism is so important. It's an outward sign of God's inward working grace to give life, eternal life, to these two children now and forever, simply by belief and faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we just thank you for the gift of life. And yet we all sit here in it. You've blessed us by it. We're born through it. And through it all, we experience it, even to the very end. But in life, you help us to understand the treasures of life, the beauty, the positiveness, just being alive and feeling it, just being ourselves. And here today, as we gather and sit together, life is all around us. There's so much more than these two wonderful children in Blake and Ada. As they just begin their journey in life, would you watch over them and protect them, love them and cherish them, and above all, watch their journey through life. So when the time is right, your presence will be revealed to them in the truth that all who believe in you will never die, never perish, but have eternal life, such as our loving Father in heaven, such as his love for the world and for one another. So we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.